Today, on Commitment to Truth.
So many times you find in the Old Testament, it talks about spiritual adultery that the children of Israel committed against God. Is that they were his bride. Guess what we are called, the church? The bride of Christ. And if there's someone else, something else that is in our lives as a priority other than Christ, we have then also committed spiritual adultery. We've cheated on Jesus.
Welcome to Commitment to Truth, the teaching ministry of Commitment Church, a place for all nations. Thank you so much for spending time with us today. Each week, Pastor Cedric Brown and the pastoral team at Commitment Church strive to draw you into a deeper relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today, we continue a series titled, The Promised Land. God has prepared great things for us to take hold of. It could be a place, a job, a ministry opportunity, or any other type of blessing He has prepared for us. God always wants us to move forward with Him. However, how do we know when it is time to go? How do we care for the blessing He already created for us in advance? What is that promised land? This week, Pastor Cedric Brown will continue to teach us how we are to steward the promise that God gives to us. We will learn that we must remember the servants of the one true God, and that we must be generous to all. Also, we will learn how we can and should worship Him no matter our circumstances. Here is Pastor Cedric, lead pastor of Commitment Church, with today's message.
And Paul ends with these words in verse 15 again, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. But I have used none of these things, and I'm not writing these things. Listen to it. Listen to his heart. And I'm not writing these things so that it will be done so in my case. For it will be better for me to die than have any man make my boast an empty one. See the balance in the body. There's this responsibility to make sure when God starts blessing you that you don't forget. But in the wait, those who are serving, you can't make it all about you because the Lord is your inheritance. You can't put pressure on the people because the Lord is your inheritance. Make sense? See, God's servant should always be reliant upon the Lord, but he also uses people. That's just what he does. Amen? But we're going to get deeper into this because you look now in chapter 26. Again, when you're in the promised land and you begin to have success, it's so tricky because it begins to be all the time about you, your 401k, you know, your retirement, your bank account, your family, it doesn't happen, does it? Come on, let's be real. It does. That's just what we do. That's our safeguard. That's our sinful patterns. And that's why he goes even further when it comes to the issue of the heart and generosity. Look at verses 1 through 4 in Deuteronomy chapter 26. It says this: Then it shall be when you enter the land which the Lord your God gives you as an inheritance, and you possess it and live in it. Listen to what it says: that you shall take some of the first of all the produce of the ground which you bring in from your land that the Lord your God gives you, and you shall put it in a basket and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to establish in his name. Our context is the local church. Verse 3, you should go to the priest who is in the office at that time and say to him, I declare this day to the Lord my God that I have entered the land which the Lord swore to our fathers to give to us. Then verse 4 says, then the priest shall take the basket from your hand, set it down before the altar of the Lord your God. You shall answer and say before the Lord your God, my father was wandering Aramean, and he went down to Egypt and sojourned there, few in number, but there became a great, mighty populous nation. So here you find if it's not, let's skip to verse 9 as well. Verse 9 through 13, just for further context, right? And it says, and he has brought us to this place and has given us this land, and land flowing with milk and honey. Now behold, I have brought the first of the produce of the ground, which you, our Lord, have given me. And you shall set it down before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. And you and the Levite and the alien who is among you shall rejoice in all the good which the Lord your God has given you and your household. Do you hear that? The Lord that God has given to you and your household. Verse 12, it says, when you have finished paying all the tithe of your increase in the third year, the year of tithing, then you should give it to the Levite, to the stranger, to the orphan, to the widow, that they may eat in your towns and be satisfied. You should say before the Lord your God, I have removed the sacred portion from my house, and also I have given it to the Levite and the alien and the orphan and the widow according to all the commandments which you have commanded me. I have not transgressed or forgotten any of your command. When you get into the promised land, we must always remember the sacredness of generosity. You see, it's interesting that he adds to the Levites, he says, the orphans, the aliens. In other words, you could say it this way. Well, how do you serve the local community? Can't do it off of air. How do you take care of the needy among us? As my parents used to say, you can't do it off your good looks. When God blesses you, when God gives you an increase, when God takes care of you and your family, you cannot stop being generous. Or you must be even more generous, because there's this understanding that it doesn't belong to you. In verse 12, the paying it all words that are nestled here, it means to tithe the whole, or the tenth of any and all. So in other words, this is what we used to teach our children. If Nana or Grandpa gives you some money, you know the first mathematical equation they learned? 10%. Whatever the increase, any or all. Any or all. You didn't earn it. You follow me? In other words, but you may say today, well, I am earning it. No, you're not. Because who gives you breath? Right? Who gives you the intellectual property? Right? Who opened the doors to allow you to have that job? And for those who say that the tithe is an Old Testament principle, it is not. It is not. Matter of fact, the tithe was in place before the Mosaic Covenant. Abraham was tithing. The tithe really is just a barometer. That's the way I kind of like to describe it. It's where you start. It's not where you finish, because he owns it all. The earth is the Lord's in the fullness thereof, and everything that it contains. Do you live on this earth? I do. So everything that I own is his. So if he happens to give you more than you had yesterday, what should happen is the first fruit, which says gross, render to Caesar what is Caesar's, unto God what is God. Whatever that gross increase is, he should immediately get 10%. Minimal. That's minimal. Minimal. Because he deserves it all. And he owns it all. And that's why again, you read further in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 8, 9, 10, it really starts to say, you know, at the end of the day, you have to have this heart change. So let's look at this. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 through 8, it says this. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he has purpose in his what? Heart. Put your finger there, because if you read the whole context of this 2 Corinthians 8, 9, 10 narrative, is that he talks about this previously promised gift. In other words, it has the connotation to say you should have been with God before you thought about bringing your gift. Because if you spend time with God, God will tell you exactly what you should be doing. And there are times, I know he's told me, more. And some way, somehow, uniquely, God knows the needs of his people. And he will tell you to give more than 10 when the more is needed, or if you would, even before it is needed, so that there would not be a need when it's needed. It's the way it works. But each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. The words cheerful simply means this, a hilarious giver. That we should be giving, laughing and celebrating when we're writing checks and using the church apps and so forth and so on. It should be this joy that comes over our hearts. Verse 8, it says, and God is able to make all grace abound to you. Now here's your benefit. So that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. So I would have to think, if I do not have all sufficiency and abundance in every good deed, there must be something in my heart that has kept me sowing sparingly. Because the promise is, you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. The word bountifully means this: you reap blessings and favor and generosity. You reap gifts. Some of you know what I'm talking about. It's like God somehow just causes people to be so generous to you because you chose to be generous. But if you're not experiencing that all the time, even when it's dark in your life, there's always going to be dark and difficult times. But yet, some way, somehow, there's this generosity of God through others that somehow is always there for you if you continue to be a generous person yourself, even in whatever, and even whatever your context may be. Whatever the context is, there is a level of generosity that we all can have. Amen? The word abundance means this: to cause to abound and to make overflow. That God would just cause this overflowing and abundance that you can not have room enough to receive it. So this sacredness of generosity, when kept, is always, believe it or not, it's a reciprocal benefit to you. Even though he says in your promised land, when he blesses you and pours out blessings upon you, and again, your blessing could be you keep your job and you keep being consistent in your generosity and make sure your heart is exactly where it should be. That's when you see God move on your behalf. Remember the sacredness of generosity. Here's our last and final point for today. You see, whenever we enter the promised land, you can rest assured there's going to be good times, there's going to be bad times. There's going to be good relationships, there's going to be bad relationships. There's going to be people who edify you, and there's going to be people who just absolutely frustrate you. So one thing is for sure, is that the children of Israel absolutely frustrated Moses, even to a point that the way he responded to them caused him not to enter the promised land. So with this in mind, our final answer to the question, how do you steward the promises of God, your promised land, is that no matter how difficult people get, no matter how difficult it begins to get in the promised land, remember to sing. In other words, worship has the unique ability to keep us at peace when people try to steal it from us, especially. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 31. And here you find Moses having a wonderful encounter with the God's people again. Look at verse 24. It says, it came about when Moses finished writing the words of this law in a book until they were complete, that Moses commanded the Levites who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, saying, take this book of the law and place it beside the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, that it may remain there as a witness against you. For I know your rebellion and your stubbornness. Behold, while I am still alive with you today, you have been rebellious against the Lord. How much more then after my death? Assemble to me all the elders of your tribe and your officers, that I may speak these words in their hearing and call the heavens and the earth to witness against them. For I know that after my death, you will act corruptly and turn from the way which I have commanded you. And evil will befall you in the latter days, for you will do that which is evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger with the work of your hands. So Moses is like saying, listen, even though I gave you all these commands, I know exactly what you're going to do. Because we are just inherently evil people. And honestly, one of the greatest revelations that I had in my personal relationship with Jesus Christ was to concede to the fact that I'm evil. You say, what? Yeah, I'm evil. Pastor, I'm evil. Inherently evil. So you know what that says to me? Well, Cedric, you should never, ever, 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 ever leave the feet of Jesus. Because all you need is the right temperature, the right soil, and you back at it. That's all you need. And the sooner you can man up or woman up to that, the safer you are in the arms of Jesus. It's to admit that you are evil, that something's wrong with you, even if there's something wrong with other people. Because it's not about comparing yourself with people, but it's comparing yourself to Christ and Christ alone. And we never measure up to the person of Jesus Christ. That's why we need them more and more. And I'm telling you, it removes so much religious pressure, church. When you realize, oh, shucks. And again, it doesn't say, okay, well, shucks, I'm evil, so let me sin. No. It doesn't say that. But again, it says, well, I want to make sure I don't sin. So, Father, I'd never want to leave your sight. It's like when Paul says, when I'm weak, then I'm what? I'm strong. So then listen to what Moses says, knowing what he was up against, can you just imagine this, that you tell the people, listen, I know even when I die, you're going to keep acting a fool. Can you imagine the weightiness of that? It's like, dang, I'm on my dying bed, my deathbed, and I just know that you're just going to keep doing what you want to do, so everything and all the time that I spent with you over this last 40 years, Can you imagine his frustration? The last 40 years, your grandparents and your parents, and now you. But listen to what Moses did. Then Moses spoke in the hearing of all the assembly of Israel, the words of this song. He breaks out with a song. If you didn't know that Moses is one of the authors of the Psalms, he was a worshiper. And one thing is for sure, church, is that there's going to be people in the promised land that will provoke you to anger. This word provoking to anger in verse 29 is this: to vex you, to grieve you. The synonym to it is to aggravate you, irritate you, displease you, and annoy you in your promised land. I was talking to my daughter on the way in. She unfortunately had to ride in with me early this morning. and I said, you know, this is what I've learned. And I was just listening to the book of Leviticus on the way in on the audio Bible. And it happened to be where the children of Israel went into the promised land, 10 came back and said what? Well, we can't do it. We can't do it. Right? In other words, the giants in the land are too big. These people are getting on my nerve. It's really another giant, right? Well, you know, the boss is not treating me fairly. That's another giant. Well, they're not giving me a promotion, not giving me enough money. That's a giant. That's what we don't understand. And I said, what I've seen as a pattern in my life, just observing people. In my corporate years, I saw this pattern, is that those people who began to talk against those that God appointed over them to write their check, no matter if you disagree with the amount on the check, two things happened to them. They became unpromotable, or they lost their job. Or they quit, maybe three. It's because they lost sight of the promise of God. In other words, it's like this. Well, hey, can you pray for me that God opens a door that I may have this job? God gives you the job. Then you get in the land. You start navigating the land. Then you start seeing giants. Wow, this is really not the land that God gave me. Wow, we start grumbling and complaining about the land and about the people in the land. Instead of singing a song. One thing is for sure is this. When he gives you a promise, and you're enjoying the promise, and then something begins to happen. It doesn't mean that God changed his mind about the promise. It's usually us, we, you, me, that lost our perspective of the promise.
Thank you again for listening to our series, The Promised Land, From Commitment to Truth, the teaching ministry of Commitment Church, a place for all nations. Ephesians 2:10 explains that God created us in Christ Jesus for good works he prepared specifically for us. It is up to us to hear from God and to know when to go and take the land. Once there, we must also take care of, or steward, what God has given us, and he will clearly show us how. If you want to listen to the previous messages in this series, or if you want to hear messages from other series, visit Commitment Church on YouTube or Pastor Cedric Brown on Spotify, Pandora, or other podcast providers. You can also visit us on our website, commitmentchurch.org. And if you live in the Philadelphia, Delaware, or South Jersey area, we would love to see you in person as well. You can attend any of our services by visiting us at 2 Berlin Road South, Lindenwald, New Jersey, 08021. Thank you again for listening, and have a blessed and wonderful day.